Welcome to the Building Up Women in Property podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Bangura, and I'm thrilled to have you here with me today. This podcast is for ambitious women who work in property and construction, who want to learn how to have a career they love on their terms. Join me every week where I'll leave you excited and confident to take your next steps. Thanks for being here with me. Now let's get started. Hello, it is great to have you here. Today we are talking about toxic workplaces and what to do if you find yourself in one. There's no point sugarcoating this. This is a bit of a heavy topic. And anyone that has been in a toxic workplace or toxic environment before knows what impact that has on them as an individual, and it can be huge. Now, I'm going to confess that I've often shied away from using terminology like toxic workplace because I think it gets thrown around a little bit and it can be very difficult to distinguish at times between a bad manager or a bad project and a toxic environment. But I was recently having a conversation with a client and her experience was so similar to other experiences I've observed and other experiences that I've had personally. And I suppose it kind of gave me a moment of clarity, kind of like that light bulb moment where I was like, yes, this is a toxic environment rather than just a bad workplace situation. And I think this distinction is really important because 9 times out of 10, when someone comes to me and they're struggling at work, my focus is usually on how do we empower you to get better outcomes in this situation? How do we empower you to improve relationships, to improve your communication, to set better boundaries so that you can reconnect with your work and move forward in a constructive and positive way? But when we are talking about toxic workplaces, it's also important to acknowledge that sometimes the best option is to get out. And I don't say that lightly, but I do think we can at times take on too much personally and try and change things that are out of our circle of control. And that ends up actually perpetuating a very negative and unhealthy cycle for us as an individual. And I think that's a situation we want to avoid. That's where we really want to steer clear and make sure that you are thriving as a person, that you are showing up, doing the best you possibly can at work, creating the results, but also being in an environment that supports you and honors you and respects you. So this is a very necessary conversation and it is uncomfortable. And this is not about finger pointing, but it's about identifying these situations and knowing how to move forward. Now, toxic workplaces show up in so many different ways, but usually it's around, you know, this psychological safety about being able to speak up and show up and be ourselves and be respected and valued. And to be honest, all of these things sound so common sense. You know, these are the things that we really would expect from every human, that we can show up and be ourselves and contribute in a meaningful way without fear of judgment or consequences and really be working within an open and collaborative environment. But sadly, that's not the case. And this is often driven by company cultures and established systems that have been in place for a long time and been overlooked for their failings for a long time. But it also shows up, you know, particularly in the construction industry for men as toxic masculinity, right? And in the construction industry, we know this is a real problem. We know that that culture of, you know, it's all okay and put on that brave face and be a certain kind of person, certain kind of bloke in the industry has huge impacts in terms of mental health, well-being, relationships. And that's sadly why the construction industry has the highest suicide rate across Australia. It's why we see higher divorce rates in our industry than in others. And these are the big issues that we need to tackle. These are the hard conversations we need to have. And these are the cultural shifts that we really need to implement. So whether it's showing up as toxic masculinity for the men in our industry or it's turning up as toxic workplaces, I think it's important to realize that the fundamentals that underpin that toxicity are the same. And it really is about people being respected and valued and being able to be themselves and contribute. So I want to tell you, you know, how this has shown up for me personally in my career. And I want to share with you an experience of a toxic workplace that happened to me. So I started working when I was 13 and 3 months, I think. I remember doing a little dodgy with the numbers to try and make myself look a bit older on my Hungry Jack's application form. But I've literally worked as part of an organization from the age of 13 through to 40. So in there, there's sort of 27 years of experience. And I started working in a corporate environment from the age of 18. So, you know, 22 years of being part of corporate organizations. And I would say I've only ever had one experience of a toxic workplace. And I say that because I think it's important to acknowledge most workplaces are pretty decent. They're not without their shortcomings. Nowhere is perfect. But a toxic workplace is not the norm. It's the exception. For me, what happened was a series of calamities. So little things kept getting missed. Actions weren't being followed up with my manager. And whilst we were in frequent communication, nothing was ever coming from those communications and was always being pushed up the chain of I need information. And then things would get resolved at the last minute. And I would think it was all done and dusted. And then months later, the same issue would come up and it would turn out that paperwork hadn't been submitted or someone hadn't checked the right box. And I was never quite clear on what was going on. I always felt that I was being proactive. You know, for anyone that knows me, I'm very direct. I'm very results driven. I'm very focused. And so I'm always in there taking action. I have a real bias towards that. And I thought that that was what was happening. But actually, behind the scenes, there was a whole bunch of things that weren't happening from my leadership. So my leadership would make a commitment to something and I would think it's done and dusted. And then months later, it will come up that, oh, no, we need this thing signed. We need this document done. And that's seemingly not a big deal. But a lot of these issues related to my employment, to my role, to my responsibilities. And for most people, we like to have that clarity. We like to know what we're in charge of, what we're responsible for, and have that autonomy to really go away and execute on that. And when it became clear for me that these conversations and issues that I thought had been resolved weren't, it caused me a huge amount of anxiety for two reasons. First of all, I just wasn't sure where I stood. But second of all, I felt that there had been this big cover-up in terms of what was actually happening. Like I hadn't been kept in the loop. I'd been given this pretty picture of, yep, it's all been done. But actually behind the scenes, there were these wheels in motion that were trying to fumble through things. And that lack of clarity for me was extremely destabilizing. And I would start to get drip-fed different pieces of information and often conflicting pieces of information. And again, I'm a project manager. I'm very into detail. I keep excellent records. And so I would go back and I would be like, but that doesn't make sense. This jigsaw, I couldn't put it together in my mind. And when I asked questions, I got more conflicting information. And so I really felt like I was swimming in this murky puddle. That's the only way I can really describe it. And, you know, even recounting this to you, it sounds petty to me. Like, it sounds like these are all really trivial things that I should have been able to just compartmentalize and deal with. But this process was corrosive, right? It was eroding my esteem over time. That sense of clarity and control was being worn down. And so it had this really compounding effect on me personally. It had a really compounding effect on my well-being and my ability to function. And that manifested in me just becoming, I don't know, slightly erratic, slightly obsessed with my work. I started being so scared that I was missing things that I became hyper diligent and would double check everything and would become such a stickler about things. I started working double time, but I also started to doubt conversations. I started to find myself waking up in the middle of the night, reading emails for hours and trolling back through history to make sure I hadn't made a mistake. And it became all consuming for me. It really took over me in a way that's almost funny. It's almost comical because it's almost like an out-of-body experience when you are in that state of anxiety and stress. And I noticed I was snapping at my kids. I was snapping at everyone. I was just, it was all I wanted to talk about. It was all I could think about. And it would be a constant thought on weekends. And as I said, in the middle of the night, I stopped sleeping. I stopped eating properly. It was like my whole body just went into this state of chaos. I fell out of every routine that keeps me going and allows me to function at a high level. And I could not reconcile what was happening in my head and at work with who I am as a person, who I've known myself to be throughout my life. And so this went on for months about these seemingly silly mistakes or miscommunications. But internally, it was having a huge effect on me. And every time I reached out and said, I need clarity, I need to understand what's going on, I was kind of put on the back burner. Yep, we're working through it, we're working through it. And I'd hear nothing for weeks or months on end. And this actually went on for about a year. And I think it got to about 9 months in, and I'd been traveling for work and I hadn't slept much the night before. I was, you know, again, all consumed, checking emails. Did I make a mistake about this? And then it almost got to that nitpicky, like, he said, she said, like, just because I was trying to make sense of the complications and the issues and to make sure that I hadn't done something wrong. But I'd had this terrible night's sleep and I'd gone and traveled and been on site for the day, and I came home and drove in to my garage and I reversed into a wall. I haven't had an accident, like a car accident, for a long time, like over a decade. And it really shook me because I was like, oh my God, how did that happen? But not so much the accident itself, but I realized that I almost didn't know how I'd gotten home, because the whole drive, the whole plane ride, the whole way home, I've been consumed about rerunning what was happening in my head. It was, again, all consuming. And I realized that if I didn't do something about it, I was on the verge of having a breakdown. And that was extremely hard for me to acknowledge. It was really hard for me to recognize that in myself. And for me, I decided to take a bit of time off work. I communicated my frustrations and that I needed a reset with my leadership team. And I then proceeded to take a couple of weeks off work, which is the only time in my life I've done that. And it was really hard. And I thought at the start of it, I would just go away. I would do yoga and read a book and go for walks every day. And that lasted the whole of the first day off. And then I actually spent the rest of the time pretty much watching Netflix and in trackies and trying to eat properly and reset myself physically. And it was absolutely what I needed mentally, physically, just to reground myself and to be able to think more clearly and come back with a fresh perspective.
I hope you've been enjoying the episode. I wanted to take a moment to let you know about my free Career Confidence Masterclass. This is for ambitious career-orientated women who are ready to stop playing small and to confidently create a career you love. Head over to my website, beautifuldisruptions.com, for more info. Now let's get back to the episode.
Now, I took that time. It was extremely hard. My ego had to really reset. You know, I had to really deal with some issues around who I am as a professional and my ability to handle stress and difficult situations. But that experience and having been through that personally really forced me to understand what psychological safety is and how it does impact people. Because for the first time, I was really experiencing a situation where I didn't have trust in my leadership and in my management team, and to be not sure about what I could do to change the situation. Now, I'll add to this that, you know, during this time when things were starting to fester and starting to get difficult for me at work, I did reach out. I did use an employee assistance program. I did get counseling. I also, you know, work with a coach all the time. So I had a lot of support. I also, leading up to the time of taking a break from work, reached out to my doctor and was talking to her. And I think that was actually probably one of the experiences that really validated for me that this wasn't okay, was actually talking to my doctor. And I remember her saying, like, do you just need a break? I said, no, I just don't think a break will help. I need like resolution on the issues. And after that conversation, I did go back to work for several weeks until I hit this sort of wall. Literally, it's great, great metaphor, right? I hit a wall literally and metaphorically. And then I was like, okay, no, I do need that break. I did have support from people around me, but that still didn't change it. And I think if you are in this at the moment, or if you've ever been in this, if you can relate to sort of this experience, it can feel almost out of body. And particularly if you're a driven person who wants to do well in your career, wants to do well in your life, it can be so hard to accept this is the reality, that toxicity, that toxic workplace exists and that it perhaps isn't the right place for you. But I do think there are so many things we need to look at and really test with ourselves when we find ourselves in these difficult situations. And I think the first thing to really acknowledge is that it's not your fault, right? You haven't done something awful to land you in this situation. And just acknowledge how you are feeling right now is a product of the circumstances you're in and the environment you're in, and it's not a product of who you are. And you might need to look to evidence of all the great things you've done in your career and all the other difficult situations you've navigated in the past to really see the distinction between the two. This is not just about having a bad day at work or having a difficult boss or working with people you don't like or a different difficult project. This is different. This is about the situation feeling unsafe for you and you not being given an environment where you can thrive and where you are actually out of control. And so I think acknowledging that this isn't your fault, this is not a reflection of who you are as a person or your worth or your contribution is really, really important. Easier said than done, I know, but we need to create like this safe bubble around ourselves in this situation. So I want to think about how can you put up boundaries, right? How can you start to separate the work from you as an individual? And it can be about work hours, it can be about where you work, it can be about taking breaks, but I want you to kind of think about literally creating that bubble around you. How do you protect your interests in this difficult situation? And then stay out of the drama, right? Other people will have other things going on. Keep in your lane, stay focused on what you need to do, but don't indulge in other negativity around you. Keep clear on sort of your issues and your patch, just as a method of self-preservation, if nothing else, because you only have so much capacity to deal with these issues. And that's why we feel so drained when these things are going on because our brains are working at double time. If you're in this, you don't have the capacity to deal with other people's drama. So just avoid it where you can. Now, linking onto that, I want you to be really rooted in what your values are. Who are you as a person? What are the things you value and need in a workplace? Don't sell out on those. Don't compromise who you are and what matters to you because of the situation you're in at this moment. And I really want to encourage you to find the people you can trust in this situation. In toxic environments, it is not just one person who's going through something. There are other people who are going through similar things in their own way. But what so often happens is we go into our own heads. We don't want to badmouth people. We don't want to share all the negatives and we don't feel safe to talk about the issues openly. So often people are really suffering in silence. And if that's you, and I know that's me because I'm generally a pretty reserved private person that doesn't like airing my dirty laundry, I really encourage you, if there are a few people that you trust in the organization, start to have those conversations. And they may not necessarily be in your direct peer group. They may be a bit further afield. They may be more senior or more junior than you. But if you have those people, really do keep those work allies with you, you know, and allow them to support you and vice versa. Find whatever stress coping techniques you can to get through this period. So for me, I started doing yoga just because that for me was, it was time out. It was time to like rest my mind. And I got to the point where I was like, if I can do this 1 hour of yin yoga a week, I'm winning, because that was kind of like the grounding force for me. So find what it is for you and make sure that you actually start to prioritize that and make the time for it. And then if things aren't getting better, if things aren't changing, then you need to create an exit plan. You need to have a way out of this situation, whether that is moving internally within the business or looking for something external. You need to really be thinking about what that looks like, because toxic workplaces don't change unless there is a catalyst for change. So if you're in a toxic environment and leadership talk about this and they're aware of this problem and they are taking active steps to change it, then yeah, hang in there, see what happens, right? Be part of that change process. But that needs to be driven by management. It needs to be driven by leadership, because toxic cultures won't shift unless it's driven from top down. And this is, I think, one of the really sad things is often in these situations, management might know there's a problem, but everyone puts the blinkers on, or we tend to think it's just one little circle or one little problem over here or there. And actually it's kind of a deep-rooted problem that is kind of rotting from below. And I feel like this is very dramatic, the language I'm using today, but that is the way I think of toxic workplace is, it's like a slow rot. And you have to address that. And I really take my hat off to the many managers, the many leaders, the many organizations that do recognize this in their business and do take active steps to change it. And like, I'm privileged because I get to do that with organizations. But I see both sides of the coin here, right? I see the organizations that are willing to have these uncomfortable conversations and really drive a positive change to not only support their employees and their well-being, but also to drive a better culture and better results where everyone really can thrive, including the bottom line. But I see companies that do that, and it's messy and it's hard and it's a real commitment to change. But I take my hat off to those organizations. But I also see a whole bunch of people who suffer in silence, often until they get to breaking point. And I just want to remind you, like, nothing is more important than your health and your well-being, and we have to cherish that. No one else is going to take care of us, so you need to take care of you. And if you can't do that in the current environment, if you can't get that support, you can't have those relationships where you feel safe and valued and respected, then it is time to leave. It is time to think about that exit plan and find a way forward for you where you can be well and you can thrive and you can be that great contributor that I have no doubt you are. So if you're in it at the moment, like, my heart goes out to you. Feel free to reach out to me, LinkedIn, drop me a line. I have been there. I know what it's like. It's awful, but there is a way forward and you can do this, but we'll need you to kind of rise above from where you are right now to take proactive steps to change things. I'm going to wrap up there, although we could talk about this for hours, but I really just want to encourage you to reach out, get some support, get some help, and make a change if that's what you need to do. Take a reset, put yourself first, and make sure you are okay. All right, beautiful. Have a lovely day.
Thank you for joining me on the Building Up Women in Property podcast. I'm Rebecca Bangura, and if you'd like to learn more about what I do, head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Have a beautiful day, and I'll see you next time.